Now let's take a detailed look at the advantages or the merits of this type of recruitment. So here we, as you know, discussed earlier as well, the costs are a bare minimal because there is no external outlook here. So the charges, including advertising, as I've mentioned, fees that are paid, the travel expenses, the background check related expenses, the sign-on bonuses, the relocation, all these expenses are cut down, correct? So this is a much simpler exercise. Reducing the training time. Yesterday I had given you an example of how IndiGo inducted or recruited various pilots from from Kingfisher. So what happens is, if you're already trained on processes, it becomes simpler, correct? Now here, these people, the gentlemen and ladies, the teams have been working, employees have been working, they know about the machines, about the infrastructure, about the processes. They're well about aware about the culture as well. So there is very less need for a training process, if any. Internal candidates do not need orientation and tend only training on specific tasks related to new responsibilities. Let's work with a quick example. Let's suppose one of the senior technical engineers, okay, in an engineering concern has been promoted to a supervisor. So he would now need to, apart from his technical duties, need to supervise 5 other engineers. Some of them might be novices, some of them might be seasoned. So a leadership training given to him will make him or her competent for this job. They do not require any technical training because it is of the same thing, or it's the same thing that they used to do earlier. On the contrary, external candidates will require an orientation. They will require a complete training, a hands-on training on those machines, on those SLAs and SOPs, and they would tend to need more time to acclimatize to the company's culture and operating procedures. I think all working professionals who are viewing this, will thoroughly agree with what I'm saying. People who are not working, they will get insights from this discussion. Reduce risks. Now, of course, another critical advantage is reduction in the risks. So hiring a new employee can, of course, be a gamble. It's something which is a scope of speculation, correct? Like today, if you think, okay, the Dow Jones or Nifty is going to move up 300 points. But this is basis of a speculation. Similarly, you can say, okay, this person, if hired, is going to do us a world of good, is only speculative. You may never know how the employee will eventually perform after they've been inducted, correct? And thus, if this is an erroneous process, if this does not go well, it will tend to be costly. So internal candidates typically will have an established track record with the company, and it's much less of a gamble. So the internal candidate is therefore a better fit with the company culture if they are requesting more responsibility by means of a promotion. Of course, this is a very simple point being repeated here. So major factor of employee engagement, involvement, and satisfaction is progression or career mobility, and what best could happen if they are rewarded with a promotion or a lucrative transfer, correct? Now what happens is, this is then resonated, this permeates in the rest of the team, and they see, okay, you know what, Mr. X, my own colleague, got promoted. So tomorrow, if I perform in a similar fashion, and if a vacancy happens, I also stand a chance to be promoted. So upward movement or a progression is a reality, and it's a possibility here. So as a result, internal recruitment often increases the productivity of the employee long past the time the hiring decision is made. Now let's look at some of the key drawbacks. We may call them as limitation or demerits of using internal sources. So of course they prevent new blood, as I had mentioned, and this limits the innovative ideas, the fresh thinking and dynamism in the organization. It also has a limited scope because it's not possible to fill up all the vacancies from within. So if the vacancies are more, if they're niche positions, we need to look outwards. And limited bandwidth, because internal recruiters are limited by the hours in a day. So if you have a few limited people working, they cannot generate the same volumes or numbers which are done by professionals who dedicate themselves outside, correct? So limited networks, reach and talent pool are all the constraints that exist when it comes to internal sources. Few other limitations include the existence of a prejudice, a preference or a bias, also commonly known as a partiality, correct? So, if I am friends with you and we are in a cordial relationship and I am, let us say, an influencing authority and you have influenced me well, you have worked well for the last couple of months, put in a lot of efforts, which usually is not done, and I see you in a good light, in a halo, and I, because of this bias, I promote you. Now, there may be equally deserving employees who have not got this chance because maybe I'm not favorable to them, or this would be their perception. So those who are not promoted will therefore naturally tend to be discontent or unhappy. So the right person may be promoted or transferred only if proper confidential reports of all employees are maintained. This involves a lot of money, time and energy, of course. Now we come to the topic of external, after having extensively discussed the internal sources, their advantages and merits, and of course their drawbacks or limitations. Let's begin the discussion on the external form of recruitment. So these firms have to be inducted, of course, as the name suggests, from outside the organization. The external sources include employment at the factory gate, as discussed earlier, advertisements, employment exchanges, employment agencies, educational institutes, labor contractors, recommendations, etc. Now let's look at each one in further detail. So as mentioned earlier, this is a source of external recruitment in which applications for vacancies are posted, are presented on the bulletin boards at the main gate of the factory, like I had given you examples as well. This kind of recruitment is applicable generally where the factory workers are to be appointed. So this is not done, of course, for the C-suite of employees or managers. It's just done for those temporary contractual blue-collared workers and unskilled or semi-skilled labor. So these are the people who keep on soliciting jobs from one place to another. So probably they might work for 10 days, a few days, a month or so. The next important form is the advertisement. As we come to know from earlier discussions, it's an external source which has a very important place in the recruitment procedure and has been a sort of a legacy external recruitment practice. It's been in practice for many decades now. The biggest advantage of this type is that it covers a wide area of the market and the applicants from diverse places can get information from advertisements. So in today's day and age, it's not limited only to magazines and newspapers or online newspapers. It's also, pertinent with the various social media recruitment practices. The next source of external recruitment is done through employment exchanges. Employment exchanges have been set up all over the country in deference to the provision of the employment exchanges. So this is a government, initiative or endeavor, which, mandates through the law or Act of 1959. This act applies to all industrial establishments that have 25 workers or more each. The Act requires all the industrial establishments to notify the vacancies before they are filled. The major functions of the exchanges are to increase the pool of possible applicants and to do the preliminary screening. So through this particular recruitment, source, there can be people who can be, put into the organizations. The next is the employment agencies. So there are certain professional organizations which look towards recruitment and employment of people. So these are the private agencies run by private individuals that supply required manpower to the needy concerns. So, in all the A, B and the C cities in India, there is absolutely no dearth of these recruitment agencies. So some of them are pretty large, some of them are startups, some of them are mid-sized. And I'm sure many of us might have, come across these. The next one is a pretty popular, mechanism. This is the campus recruitment. So colleges, universities, and institutes are ideal places for recruiters. Some companies recruit a given number of candidates from these institutes every year. So there are, IT organizations, there are banking concerns, there are manufacturing concerns, which are continuously on the lookout for fresh young graduates, postgraduates, who can, bring in innovation, a penchant for creativity. So every year on an annual basis, they tend to approach these institutions. Campus recruitment is so much sought after that academic institute will have a placement officer to handle the recruitment functions. So many a times there is also a proper handholding and training, a sort of a guidance given to the students of how to approach these interviews and pass out with flying colors. And every once in a while, there is a news of, a student from a particular university who's bagged maybe a 1 crore job, 1 crore job, an 80 lakhs job, a 90 lakhs job with the likes of a Google, an Amazon, a Microsoft. I'm sure most of us have been through such news, either on the social media or through the news networks. The next one is a recommendation. So there are certain people who are specialists in their specific domains. So these influencers basically enjoy goodwill and reputation in the company. There are certain vacancies which are filled by recommendations of such people. Of course, the biggest drawback is that the company has to rely totally on such people, which can later on prove to be inefficient. So again, this is highly prone to a calculated risk or a speculation. The next one is pretty common and is also a sort of a legacy method. It's one of the most common or the most common method and least expensive approach for candidates in an external manner is the direct applications, in which job seekers submit unsolicited application letters or resumes. Now, what is the meaning of unsolicited? As most of you might know, it is without a sort of an advertisement or invitation. So it's a proactive approach. Yeah. So somebody who may think, okay, this is a large organization, organizations such as Tata's, the Birla's, the many MNCs that are in India. So many people may think, okay, since it's a large organization, it may come up with some sort of, a void or a vacancy and let me apply to benefit. So direct applications can also provide a pool of potential employees to meet future needs. So case in point here is, if you don't have a job for that person now, you might, just keep the application, and when there is a vacancy, you might just quickly from your database, get these particular applications and call them for the subsequent rounds. So from employees' viewpoint, walk-ins are preferable as they are free from hassles associated with other methods of recruitment. The next being that of the consultant. So they are in the profession for recruiting and selecting of managerial and executive professionals or personnel. They're useful as they have nationwide contacts and lend professionalism. They lend professionalism to the hiring process. They are both doing active and passive mechanisms. They also keep prospective employers and employee anonymous. However, the cost can be a deterrent. So they may levy or charge a heavy price for acting as a middleman and facilitating the process of hiring. The next is a headhunter profile. So they are useful in recruiting specialized and skilled candidates working in a particular company. For example, let's say there is a niche position which opens up, which there is no availability in the market. You do a search, but none of the candidates fit the profile. In this case, there needs to be somebody who has a lot of networks. They know people in the market and they can be a reliable source to hire such people. So an agent is sent to represent the recruiting company and offer is made to the candidate. This is a useful source when both the companies involved are in the same field and the employee is reluctant to take the offer since he fears that his company is testing his loyalty. So this has to happen behind closed doors. There has to be a lot of anonymity, confidentiality, and the agent or the headhunter has to induce trust into the person who will be leaving his current job and moving to the next job. The next is, of course, radio, television, and internet. So these are multimedia channels which can be used effectively. So radio, television are used to reach certain types of job applicants, such as skilled workers. Now, of course, this has now grown pretty old, but still on various channels, you might once in a while hear an advertisement towards a recruitment drive that is happening. Use of radio and television advertisements is observed to be increasingly in popularity in the last few years, but has slightly dropped because of the advent of the internet. So the internet now is becoming a popular option for recruitments. The other one is recruiting or poaching from the competitors. So this is known as poaching or raiding, which involves identifying the right people in the rival companies, offering them better terms and luring them away. So this has been an age-old practice where you look at the other company, you look at their workforce, and you see steady growth happening because of those talented people. And of course, you poach those, you give them a higher pay, and you attract them to work for your company. Thereby, you enjoy or reap the benefits of having such talented professionals. So from the legal point of view, an employee is expected to join a new organization only after obtaining a no objection certificate from his or her present employer. So if a lucrative offer is made, people get this facilitated as well. The next is an interesting one. It's called as merger and acquisition. So when organizations combine, they have a pool of employees out of which whom some may not be necessary any longer. So as a result, the new organization has in effect a pool of qualified job applicants. So what happens is those people, they would be, redundant or not required and can be absorbed by other organizations. So new jobs may be created for them. So both new and old jobs may be readily staffed by drawing the best quality applicants from this existing pool, which has now become redundant because of that merger or acquisition. Now let's look at the evaluation of this type of recruitment. Let's look at the merits first. So the organization will have benefits of new skills, new talent, and new experiences if people are hired from external sources. This is a contrary position to the internal sources. The management will be able to fulfill reservation requirements in favor of the disadvantaged sections of the society. So people who've not been with a job, people who have actually led a poorer lifestyle than otherwise, people with some sort of disabilities, they can also gain through this by being inducted into an esteemed organization. The management can thereby attract qualified and trained people to apply for vacant jobs in the organization and also receive a diversity and number of candidates who have knowledge and capability to hold that job. Some of the demerits include better motivation and increased morale associated with promoting own employees, which is lost to the organization as discussed earlier. Cost is high, it's more expensive. If recruitment and selection processes are not properly carried out, chances of right candidates being rejected and wrong candidates being inducted can occur. There is also a higher risk. There's an opportunity that the applicant selected is not worthy, so it's again subject to a very good amount of speculation only. Correct? Now let us look at the new age sources of recruitment as well. So these are, generated by the recent pandemic. Correct? So let's discover them so that the professionals, the students who are recruitment professionals or who are aspiring for a future role will also get insights into this particular matter. So with the rapid advancement in technology and of course the ongoing pandemic crisis, the COVID-19 crisis, many new and innovative methods have emerged to find the right people. Some of the prominent ones include asynchronous interviewing. Now, what is asynchronous? Asynchronous meaning does not happen in synchronous mode, correct? So diametrically opposite to face-to-face. So face-to-face happens in real time in a synchronous mode, okay? This is opposite to it. So it is accommodative of the present fast-paced world. Here the candidate decides the time and place where the interview will take and answers the questions within a set time limit. So there are some special software applications which you might want to look up where, you know, a recruitment organization or an agency invests in the application. The questions are asked by a robot or an automated, program where the applicant answers those and those answers are recorded and later reviewed by the recruitment professionals. So as stated here, the recruiter saves both time and money through this method and also ensures maximum outreach. So they can just sieve through those recordings and get an understanding as to who needs to be invited for the next round of interviewing. The next is called as gamification. Okay, so in the current day and age, in the modern era, it's also known as a recruitainment. Okay, so recruitainment is a compound word perfectly capturing the essence of gamification. It tends to provide the candidates with an exciting activity to make the ordeal of an interview fun. Ordeal means it might be a tasking job, it might be an intensive task, but it becomes a fun problem-solving session. So it can provide candidates with a game in the form of quizzes that test their industry-related knowledge, their quests, behavioral assessments, and more. So a sort of a simulation is created, which is based on the job description, which matches the profiles that are invited, and this simulation is played out where the candidates solve problems in a simulated environment, and they're offered a glimpse into the workings of the industry or the specific organization as well. The next is known as psychoanalysis. Okay, so this is a legacy concept which is gaining prominence again. So this is based on the work done by a psychologist called as Rorschach. So the Rorschach ink blot test is a popular psychoanalytical test made popular through the movies and even cartoons. So many of you might have also seen this. If not, I would request you to pause this recording and quickly, go to a browser and you might want to do a search there. So there are certain ink blots and people are asked for their interpretations. So does this look like a face? If it looks like a face, is it a smiling face? Does this look like a human organ or something else? So, interpretations are made thereupon. So companies use tests such as these or more generic questionnaires to assess the candidate's inner psyche. So inner psyche is nothing but the ability of a candidate to think in any specific manner or follow approaches. So while their intellect is an important factor in their potential recruitment strategies, psychoanalysis stresses the need for a person to be emotionally healthy as well. So if the findings tend towards some diseases or, you know, something which is malfunctioning, people can do away with such candidates for the overall health of the organization. Of course, a recent development is also that of chatbots. Now, usually we see chatbots when when we visit certain websites, there are these automated chat, bots which say, "May I help you? May I be of an assistance? Welcome to our particular website," and so on. So chatbots is an automated algorithm or a program. It's an automated system that can interact with the user and ask them questions that can be easy and binary. So binary is like a yes or a no, okay? So do you believe, let us say, do you believe in the fact that empathy is one of the, I would say, important emotions in collaboration? So there would be a yes or a no. Do you believe in the power of teamwork? Yes or a no. Or for that matter, even complex ones whose answers are usually analyzed using machine learning or artificial intelligence. For example, please identify the difference between wisdom and intelligence, and which would you prefer to use in a strategic situation? Now, of course, this cannot be quickly analyzed. It has to be analyzed using a sort of a database or an artificial intelligence. Chatbots help to lessen the load of the more trivial aspects of recruitment strategies, such as collecting candidate information, screening, parsing, ranking them based on their qualifications, engagement, experience, and more. So those things that require manual intervention yet are cumbersome and common sight can be automated by these particular programs. The next is a virtual machine-based simulation, okay, which is a cloud-based system. So you're basically having a lightweight client at your end. The cloud or the basic architecture resides someplace else. Now, these programs can be purchased by the organization, and they will administer certain online tests which are useful when hiring programmers. So if it's a Java programmer, a C-sharp programmer, a Python programmer, such virtual machines can be used to administer online coding tests. Questions pertaining to the industry are put forward in this virtual machine, and it requires candidates to answer within the time limits. Of course, the solutions will be captured on the cloud and will be shared with the purchasing organization. Of course, the very last new age resource that we are going to look at is the social recruitment. So as this is becoming very popular, it's been present for several years. This uses profiles, blogs, posts, and more to reach out to candidates. It advertises jobs on the social media and then assesses social candidates who have applied for the said jobs by analyzing their social media handles. So places like an Instagram, a LinkedIn, a Twitter play an important role over here. People not only share job posts and apply to jobs here, but also build company profiles. They write blog posts, they share articles on their specific niches, and build a network of like-minded individuals. So team, in this fashion, we have completed the fourth chapter, which included the various sources of recruitment. So here prominently, we've seen internal, external sources. We've also seen the new age sources. Thank you.